Alan Pollock is here. He is here with the weekly tech update. Alan, what you got, friend?
Good to be here, David. Thank you. So interesting about the non-competes. I've been involved in a number of them for myself at different positions, either as an advisor or consultant or a full-time employee. And from what I've read, the regulation really is aligned to make sure that you can continue to work in your field and what you're good at. A number of times, if I didn't have an attorney or pay for the right legal opinion, I would have been held to these agreements and I would not have been able to continue work elsewhere. So there's been some overreach, I believe, over time. I think as many laws have a gray area and many laws also sometimes are abused. And I think that's the reason for this. Non-solicitation, I think, is extremely important. If you run a company, you need to be respected. And if you're an employee, you need to respect that. Unless you have a specific contract, like where let's just say you're a broker and you have your own company and you are bringing your own leads in, but you're doing the underwriting and processing or selling the loan to someone else, your contract should read or you should work on making sure that who owns that customer. However, at the end of the day, being able to work somewhere else in your field, your specialty, your art should never be restricted. Non-disclosure agreements and non-solicitation agreements will continue. Now, those are tricky as well, by the way, especially when you work on the vendor side. For example, vendors will put into those contracts many times that if you solicit, meaning if you sell any of those customers or anyone that you work with sells those customers, which puts you in a very unique position. Because if I'm at vendor A, a doc provider, let's say, and I go to vendor B, another doc provider, some of those agreements state that I cannot be a part of the company that contacts any customers that may be in their sales pipeline. And sometimes the words in those contracts refer to any time in the past. Since the company's been in existence, if they have called upon that customer, your non-solicitation could be at risk. So you got to be very careful. But the ability to work in your art, your trade, and that non-compete is, I think, very critical. So companies can still be buttoned up and people are free to work. So that's my only feedback on that. I think it's a very good conversation to have, especially for folks like myself and many others.
Yeah. Boy, you raised an interesting point on that discussion, because in the tech world, there's a whole new set of circumstances. And in the mortgage world, we're all doing the same thing with the same products. There's not a whole lot of uniqueness, maybe about how we solicit or something, go about our marketing. But in the world of tech, there is significant proprietary information, trade secrets that you're aware of. And if all of a sudden those trade secrets, whether it's by your doing or not, show up at your new employer, you are exposed. There is a risk. You may find yourself in court explaining that you did not, in fact, bring that, and you're going to have to prove that. So very interesting. There's a lot of other ramifications to be given a lot of thought to. Let's go into what you have for a tech update.
So, David, I stole this from a newsletter I get every day called The Hustle, and they've got fantastic, fantastic articles for a good read if you ever just need to get your brain away from the everyday. So they start the title with, "I'm not a robot, right? Why CAPTCHA," when you have to guess all the bicycles or the buses right in the picture, yep, "why CAPTCHAs are getting harder." And they put a joke in there, which is really funny. They go, "Select all the images of a panda wearing glasses." "Nope, wrong. Try again, idiot." And so at the end of the day, we all feel like that. They're difficult. We know we clicked all the buses, or you have to refresh the image three times because you can't make out what it is. Guess what? They're going to continue to get harder with the rise of AI and the ability for systems to auto-generate.
Yeah.
That's right. So you better tune up on your CAPTCHA skills. All right, let's get into some fun stuff. This is a tool, by the way. I know a lot of people have seen AI tools used when referring to GoToMeetings and Zoom meetings and the ability to record the meetings. This one's called Otter AI Chat and AI Channels. And you can privately chat with the system that's recorded all of your meetings asynchronously. So while you're in a meeting, either the meeting you're in right now or prior meetings, and you can ask questions and you can chat with it. So think of it as your personal assistant who knows more about that meeting and can generatively come up with ways to help you better understand that meeting. So check it out. It's called Otter.
Wait a minute. Is this something that I'm familiar? We use Otter AI all the time. I'm using it regularly. So you're saying while you're in the meeting,
yes,
you can ask it questions. Like, for example, if it's a long meeting and you may have stepped out and taken a quick
exactly
bio break and you could say, did this cover? I've got a question. Yep. What did I miss while I was gone or in the last 5 minutes? So fascinating.
Yeah, it says you now can privately chat with Otter AI synchronously during your team meeting.
And what would you anticipate the nature of the synchronous communication to be? That's fascinating. All right, that wraps up this week's podcast.